Father God, I just I thank you so much for bringing us together here. This is a miracle in itself, just bringing a bunch of guys together. And we carry a lot of stuff. And Lord, we just lay it down to you right here and right now. Father, you have us in the palm of your hands. And you have our lives. We put our faith in you, Father. And I just pray that you just continue just protecting us and guiding us in our lives, our families. This is what we're going through as far as being real leaders. Take care of our families, Father. Teach us as we go. That's what we need. We need your Holy Spirit right now to guide us. And I also want to lift up my brother. I got word, Steve Behrens, his mom's in the hospital, and he's just worried about her. He's with her right now. Help Steve. Help his mom. Help him get through this time right now. We just lift them up, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This book, have you guys enjoyed reading this book?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've never, you know, Johnny said, you know, point man. I'm like, okay, I went out and got it. And I've been reading it, and it's pretty amazing. It really is. I mean, it's got a lot of real practicality. You know, you break it down, starts out in point man, and last week, you know, Adam gave great teaching. And in fact, I wrote some of the stuff down. If you guys wonder why, I know a lot of guys that look down at his feet and say, does this guy ever wear shoes? You know, first time I always take off my shoes and all that. Anybody ever airborne guys in here? Man. Broken ankles are tough. You know, I broke my ankles so many times, you know, and it's like now I suffer for them when I walk. I can't wear shoes very much, you know. I put shoes on, and then within about a minute, it's just like it's so uncomfortable when it hurts so bad. So I try to, my wife has gotten so used to it. So that's the story for me, okay? Yeah, and those that know me, like when we go down to Rocky Point, built 100 homes. I think all 100 homes we built, probably more, I did it half the time barefooted in sand. And I know it was a terrible example, but, you know, I just didn't have any choice, you know, other than that. I just couldn't wear work boots or anything like that. So that's my story. Point man. I'm gonna rehash here a little bit because it's good to do a little bit of groundwork. We're in a battle. That's all there is to it, especially these days. You look out, I don't have to tell you. I mean, you know, it says in Revelation, the right will be in the end times, the right will be wrong, and the wrong will be right. You're like, bingo to that. I mean, this stuff is just insane. This is why when they chose the seven in Acts, I think chapter 7 right there, when they chose the deacons, there were two things they gave them, that God gave them. The Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is like good old common sense. Walking the point in the military is everything. Not the highest ranking, not the most popular guy and all. It's the man with the most experience. Because that man has got to walk that point. And this is what we do in our marriages. God is calling you to walk that point. And what did he do? He looked for the enemy. He's watching for those minefields. You're going to prevent a lot of damage. A lot of damage. You communicate. You know, all these things. And this book was really good bringing it all together as far as we are called to be that in our family. They need us. Our wives, you know, and our kids. And if it's a responsibility that God has given to you. I mean, God brought marriages together. Remember when God, he put Adam into a deep sleep, took out the rib, you know, and formed Adam. And then he looked at Adam, he goes, he's probably thinking, this is good. And he's like, this is flesh of my flesh and bones of my bones. That's part of him. This is why in divorces, it gets so ugly. It's so painful. It's so sickening. It's like bones are being broken and skin is just being torn. It's terrible. And this is why God says, you know what? And for this reason, a man will leave his mom and dad and become one with his wife, right? Well, the crazy thing is Adam never had a mom and dad. The Lord knows what he's talking about. And we get ourselves in these sticky situations out there. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something a little different. I'll get to it in a little bit and all. But as far as where we end up wandering and we get into these bad, compromising positions, and a lot of different things we'll talk about, and then you're not the point man no more. Last week, Adam talked about, in chapter 2, as far as the being there for our kids, spending time, investing, going vertical. That was a good point. Just, you know, what do they see in us? And when we raise kids, it's like the first child you had was the first time you ever did that. So it's like training ground. So we need to be training these kids up proper way. And it says in Deuteronomy, you know, that we're to train the kids in the ways of the Lord and train your kids' kids. It's our job to be doing this. So we do this the best we can, and we're in this spiritual battle. Just crazy. I heard this thing on the way over here. I got plenty of time here. Johnny told me to take my time. I've never heard that one. Usually it's just the opposite. They're like, look, man, watch the clock. You only got this amount of time. You know that flight where that guy went crazy and he got duct taped? Did you hear what happened?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Did you hear that Jonathan Kahn was on that flight? Did you hear about that? This is really wild. And apparently it was like this demonic thing that was happening on this flight. You know what I mean? And so and this guy comes up with some crazy wild stuff. But this is what this is all about. Satan doesn't give a squat about you or me. Nothing. All he wants is, he just wants to see us go into very compromising positions, and he just wants to neutralize you and me. It's like walking over to a crock pot and just turning it off. That's it. And everything goes cold. And there's no taste. Just like salt. It gets trampled on and it's useless. And that's what happens to us. He just wants to take your house and burn it down. That's all he wants to do. Anything to neutralize you. And that's what the point man is. You take that point guy out, man, things get crazy. Okay? In the Air Force when I flew, we used to have high bird and low bird choppers. They'd come on in, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like the same concept. You got to come in and you got to get your guy. But you know what? It's the leader. We are called to be leaders. Our families, when you and I finally come to Christ, when we really walk with him, and we're not messing around no more, we've done that before, it's like the scales come off of our eyes, and we start walking through life a little different, and we start looking at things a little different, you know, and we start coming along, and you start picking up things in other guys. This is why we come together like this. We're not coming in here because, you know what? Like, I got this. I've mastered this one. But I'm going to go to this class anyway and listen to this guy up here. You know what I mean? No. We come in here because we need this. We need this. And we start looking at things differently through the lens of the Holy Spirit. God starts talking to us. And the culture that we live in nowadays, it hates Jesus. It hates marriages. It hates you and me. It can't stand the family value. I mean, you know, they can't even tell you what a woman is, what a man is. They have no idea. They were afraid to spit it out. When you and I walk with Christ, Paul wrote this. He says, we are the aroma of Christ. Okay? You and I are one or the other. You're either the aroma of Christ to those that are walking with the Lord, or you are the stench of death to those that are perishing. You ever meet someone that they just can't stand you, and you haven't never even met them before? That's that spiritual battle that we're going through. They're like, man, people, they'll hate you. Like, we haven't even met. But Jesus said, you know, it's not you that I hate, that they hate, it's me. And this is what ends up happening. So it's this war on the family, and you're walking the point along with me, watching for this stuff, and we're marked men. So take pride in the fact that you walk in excellence of Christ that way. Take pride that the world hates you. Because you know what? You can always tell. If it ain't going bad, it ain't going good. And it's so it's well worth keep fighting this good fight that we're fighting for our families. And I say this to encourage you. So you ask, all right, so one of the questions that we had last week, and you guys all had the same questions, was I blew it. I really wasn't there for my family. And I think probably a lot of us here, including me, I didn't play my part. I didn't play my part at all. All I was just Mr. Fun Dad, Bruce Crazy Dude, you know, whooping it up, flying around, you know, and but there was no leadership the way that God wanted me to do that. So I think that's probably a common thing, but how do we do that? Okay, how do I make up all that time? How do I do that? I wasn't there for them, but how do I get this thing right? And what happens is we get kind of uncomfortable, thinking, man, boy, we start looking back in life, and we've failed. We get discouraged about the past, how things we've fallen short. And but what we need to do is we need to, in Luke 12, we talked about this the other night. In Luke 12, it talks about Jesus told the disciples, said, you just wait on me, be dressed, ready for service, and let your lamp shine. Wait on him. Spending time with the Lord. And this is what you'll do. And it says, you know, to be girded up, your loins. Be ready for service, you know. What they do, they used to wrap up their robes real good. Because otherwise, when they're working, it would get in the way, get easily entangled. See, that's what we got to be careful of. We don't want to get entangled in stuff. Okay? We want to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Don't get entangled, and keep that light shining out there in a world that is dark. When you look around here, you see a lot of different flavors, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different everything. God's using you, men. You're leaders. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you will be ready for him. You will be ready for service. You'll have that hope. And you will be shining that light wherever you go. I don't care if you go over to 7-Eleven, and whatever it is, or wherever you're at. God, you will be doing that. If you don't keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you won't be doing that stuff. But I guarantee what you will be doing, you'll be looking back at all those failures. Those moments in your life, you're like, man, I blew it. I haven't done anything that way. That's you just do simple math and you keep your eyes fixed on your Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And you know, it says in the Bible that in Romans 9, for therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? And we're in Christ, we're a new creation. All things, the old has passed away, and the new, everything becomes new. See, God, he takes these things, all these failures, and we've had them, and we will continue tripping, falling, whatever you want to call it, making boo-boos. We will continue doing these things. He's taking these things and throwing them, into the sea of forgetfulness, which is cool. But what do? Walk out the back door, go out the back gate, walk down the alley, reach down in the dumpster and pull out that bag of goodies that the guy threw away. Drag it back into the house and stink up the house, you know what I mean? And we sit and we can't get over some of these things. See, you have to keep your eyes fixed on Christ, and you won't be doing that. Because if you don't do that, you're going to be thinking about these old things. And it's so common. You hear it all when you're, you know, and there's other prayer warriors in here, you know, in the prayer room we're over there, and it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You always take them right back to Christ. Always, always go back to basics. And you cannot go wrong. But we do this. But God tells us, keep our eyes fixed on me. But we have a God of restoration when we make these mistakes. I'm going to bring up two guys here, and both of them are really important. The first one you got is Peter. Peter blew it, didn't he? His mouth got him in trouble. I mean, he goes up on the Mountain of Transfiguration with Jesus, James and John, and God calls him out right there. You know what I mean? You're like, man, you ever get that conviction from the Lord? You're like, I blew that one, man. That was, I said something stupid, you know what I mean? Oh, you know. Well, that was Peter. He was always pulling that stunt, okay? His mouth got him in problem. He denied Jesus 3 times right there in the courtyard, and Jesus is looking right at him. The other one I want to bring up is David. David got himself into a bad situation here with Bathsheba, okay? And that's kind of where this is going with this one, okay? A man of God's own heart. David's one of those kind of guys. King David is one of those guys where I want to meet in heaven. I've always said, you know, we're going to have a meet and greet in heaven. You know, it's going to be really cool. I want to meet some of these crazy guys up there, you know, and he's one of them. He blew it. Now, God loved him, and David had that repentant heart that way and all, but his life was never the same after he cheated. Okay, he had adultery with Bathsheba. Okay, never the same. Terrible in his family, terrible results and all that. And there's the greatest of the kings right there. Okay, Peter, on the other hand, what happened? He was restored, remember? Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he went one-on-one with Peter right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he had the fire built, the fish and all that, and he confronted him, said, hey, you gonna take care of my kids? See, he had plans for Peter. God has plans for us, and we make mistakes. And, I mean, you and I, we have all had these moments, one-on-ones with the Lord, where he's like, look, Jim, what are we doing here? You know, and God starts hitting us with these, you know, and you're like, yes, I know, Lord, and I just, you know, I feel bad. You feel this conviction. This is what he did with Peter, okay? And he restored him, and look what Peter did. Of course, Peter was still a wild man. You can be a wild man to get into heaven. You can be a crazy dude. Going to be a lot of dummies up in heaven, stuff and all that. But I will tell you this, there are certain things that you got to be careful of that can really, really neutralize you from serving the Lord. And one of them is what David did right there. And that is where he committed adultery. And the world these days, but you know what? Here's another good one though. Remember Joseph when he was with Potiphar's wife? Remember that? He had that opportunity, didn't he? He's like, man, you know, she was on him big time. And he had that robe on, you know, and what did he do? He wiggled his way out of that thing, and the dude ran. He ran. He got out of there, okay? Now, I'm just building this up to where we're going with this thing, okay, as far as for the next chapter and all. But Joseph did what David should have done. So you got that situation. David, he never climbed out of that. He was always in that ditch kind of. But Joseph, he got out of that thing, and we need to be the same way. We need to be very careful on the positions that we get into. And sometimes you will. And when it comes to women, it's a wild one, you know? And you never quite know what's going on in the minds and all that, and or we get in these compromising positions. But Joseph was a classic example. He wiggled his way out of that baby, and he got away because he was all about what the Lord wanted. And he was very effective for the Lord. So nowadays, our society is redefining everything that we do, everything. Man and woman, we've talked about that. Men are toxic. Did you know that? We're toxic. Toxic masculinity, okay? It's amazing. You know, you're like, huh, that's kind of cool. You know, it's got some zip to it, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Toxic masculinity, yeah. Now, I don't mean men that go around beating women and all that kind of thing, which is wrong. But I'm talking, God made you in His image. We're men. Men's ministry has always been the most important ministry. Always. You get the guys, you get their hearts, and guess what you're going to get? The family. That's what we're talking about here. Being a leader in the family. So what do? They redefine everything, okay? They don't even call it adultery anymore. It's an affair, okay? It's beautiful. It's fluff. It's soft sounding. Like, well, that's not that bad. You know, I went to a fair up in Alaska. I used to live in Alaska, you know. I saw, you know, and I'm like, this is cool. I went to a fair in Alaska when I used to live up there. The Fur Rendezvous. Every year I was stationed up in Anchorage, and I loved it. And RJ should get up there. And you know, that's where they had the dog sled race every year, and they'd shoot across to Nome, because years ago that's how they delivered the medicine out there and all. But the point is in a fair. The fair, what did I do? I had fun. It was exciting. It was new. It was cool. That's what these affairs are. These are these moments, man. He's like, wow, this is a new, this, you know, it's like, wow, I noticed this gal at church, or maybe I noticed her or a worker or whatever, you know, just this excitable moment, you know. Gotta be careful. Gotta be careful. A little text here and there. You might even delete the text. You know, I like to throw these things out there. You know, it's the cool thing is I'm looking at all you guys, and you're just looking at me. So I throw it out there, and I get to see all the faces and all that. But you know what? It's okay, because this is the truth. So these affair things, you know. So they relabel that. You know. Living together? Nah, we don't do that no more. We coexist. You know what I mean? They got a new terminology, you know? God, well, they redefine Him too. You know, He's like some old man somewhere that you can just kind of talk to, you know? Jesus, you know, he good teacher, you know, and all. They redefine everything, okay? God, He's not He's like a therapist. You know what I mean? You know, you just kind of like talk to, you know? Nothing damning, nothing harsh. You, your own God. This is what the world's saying. We don't need all this stuff. This right here? Guys, this is a joke. Whenever you go to your prayer closet, and that could be anywhere, you're doing something that is so unnormal these days. You're going to, people would say, you actually do that? You actually believe this stuff right here? You actually believe this? I'm like, yeah. And I need this. And this is who I pray to, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I go down to the Gospel Rest Commission, and I teach down there, and I see gritty old guys, flies all around when I used to go down there and teach, giving their lives to Jesus, just like the richest of the rich give their lives to Christ. Doesn't make any difference. God said, I came here for the hurting. And we're living in a hurting society. We live a lot of questions and all, just like we do. We're like, man, just like that the other night. You know, God's like, I don't know what to do. I wasn't there for my kids. Well, you know what? You keep your eyes focused on Jesus, and you'll be ready to serve, take care of them, and you'll have that lamp shining. You're going to shine. That's what you do. You keep this thing basics. But our world wants to redefine everything. And they do. You know, nobody speeds no more. We just change the rules. Crime? We don't even have any crime anymore. You know, we just change the rules. Murders? Nobody does that anymore either. They just redefine everything. They redefine what a man and a woman is. They redefine what a marriage is. Now, as far as manliness, you get guys out there, athletes, rock stars, movie stars. Military guys are big on this. Man, they just pile up the women. You know, that's their manliness. That's the one thing that we need to, and it's kind of like the core of it tonight as far as what is a man? You know, what is manliness and what is not? We have a culture that is teaching our young children all these things. It's okay. It's all right. Killing children. It's okay. This is insane, all these things that we see. God has different standards as far as how we are with adultery. You got the Ten Commandments. There's two of them in there. For I think it's like, I don't know, number six or seven, it says, do not murder. Then the next one is, do not commit adultery. It doesn't say, do not commit an affair. Okay? Do not murder, do not commit adultery, and then it says, do not covet thy neighbor's wife. It's a biggie. This is what you call getting yourself into a bad position right there. Very compromising. Real men don't do that. There's a lot of things that we shouldn't do, but this is the hub of it tonight. And this is why I brought up David. His life was never the same. There might be men in here that have been in that category. There might be men in here where your wives did that to you. In fact, I think statistically wise now, I think the women are creating more havoc. And you've got so much internet out there. You've got so much like Facebook, pornography, you know, and there's so many different situations out there, and you think, oh, June, you have no idea what I'm going through in my marriage. You have no idea. You know, the wife, she drives me crazy. She put on a couple pounds. She just ain't the way it used to be. I'm just discouraged. Fun, forget that. Sex, I don't even know how to spell it anymore. There is no temptation that deceives you except for what is common to man. When I was in the Air Force in 1989, no, in 90, my first wife died in my arms. She died in my arms. She had cancer. I had a 1, 3, and 7-year-old. 1, 3, 5-year-old. My wife dies in my arms. She was a beautiful woman. Beautiful. I didn't do my job. I did not do my job. I was too busy living out of a booze bottle and doing dope and everything. You know, I used to take care of you. You went down, I'd take care of you. I'd take care of you. I lived a life of craziness. It took my mom to fly into town to bring my wife on her deathbed to Christ. So I had the privilege of looking in my wife's dying eyes, and I could see Christ in her eyes. And I did not know Jesus at the time at all. Nothing. Okay, I get remarried, you know, after that I go over to Storm, come back, you know, and then I a couple years later I get married, and then what happens? My second wife gets a brain bleed, and she had 3 brain surgeries, okay, and it's like, this is crazy. You know, this woman's situation wasn't turning out so hot for me, you know? So finally, I got the nudge over there in Kuwait City from some helicopter pilot, some guy in the Army, and he was a chaplain too. You know, that's the way these Army guys were, man. They kind of swap out, you know, and it was cool. And he laid it down on me really hard. He's like, look, man, you're gonna have to give your life to Christ. I'm not telling you have to, I'm telling you have to, you know, and it took time, but eventually I did. That's the only way I got through this stuff. Because situations come up and we just don't know what to do. And God's like, perfect. Now I got you right where I want you. You're just kind of walking in a circle. You can't figure nothing out. You know, and you almost lost that second wife, and she did. My wife is alive and well, and she's, you know, when you do brain surgery, three of them, you're going to have issues. So, if you're worried about issues in your marriage, and you're like, this is not the way it used to be, and all that, guys, keep doing what you're doing. Go to Jesus. Stay in the fellowship right here, and watch out. Watch out, because I tell you right now, when you go through the Bible, there's a lot of men in there. Man, they went as they got older. You know, this isn't about seniority. You know, now that I'm almost 70, I'm like, I'm good. You know, no, I'm not saying it's like nah. He's watching these people fall, and he's like, yeah. That's exactly what I want. He loves this situation. He loves chaos. Now, I mean, he's going to go for the cut. When I lived down in Miami, Florida, I used to watch live boxing from Mexico City. These dudes, man, they didn't even know what a fight doctor was. You know what I mean? They just drag the guy back to the corner, you know, and just kind of wipe him off, you know, and then, you know, just sit him there and get him back in there. I used to watch this, man. These guys, man, these Mexican boxers, man, they were good, man. They go for the cut, okay? They won't go for the body, man. You start cutting, man, they're going for the cut. That's how Satan is. He's like, you know, I'm going for the cut, man. Before you know it, that thing is wide open. You're bleeding everywhere. Satan is going to go for the small stuff. See, he's not going to all of a sudden, like, you know, one day I'm going to have an affair. I'm going to commit adultery. No. Satan's like this. That door in your life gets open, a little crack of the door, boom, he just puts his toe in there. And he just keeps the door open. He just needs a little bit of a crack to get in. And then he'll wiggle his foot in there, and then he'll just kind of work a little bit, and he's going to be coming for the cut. And he knows where you're weak. He knows where you're vulnerable. You're like, wow, that's crazy. You know, and it's just like, that's it? That he's going for that? It's just like salvation. It says all, Romans 10, all who call upon the name of the Lord, they confess with their mouth and they believe in their heart that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, will be saved. And people are like, that's it? That's it? Like, yeah. This is simple stuff, guys. Yeah. Guys are like, that's it. You know, the thief on the cross. Dude, man, he didn't have any programs. You know, he didn't go to any Bible studies. Nothing. No home building project. Nothing. All he did was gaze across. You know what he did? He had his eyes fixed on Jesus. Even in the thick of it, when this dude, man, he's a bad thief. You didn't have like a good thief and a bad thief on one side of Jesus. He had two bad thieves. And what's he doing? He's got his eyes fixed. Jesus. And that's what it takes. This is why, as we walk through this crazy life out there, and as we get ourselves into these slippery, slippery situations, and they're going to come, you got to be careful. You got to understand that there's, you know, a situation like with a woman. Be careful. Be ready and keep your eyes fixed on Christ. When you read like Psalms, you guys like listen to the book of Psalms, okay? I love the first one, and I love how it starts out. I wrote it down exactly here. I know it. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sits in the seat of the mockers. You know, isn't that good? Yeah. not what to do, it's what not to do. You know, it's like that, you know, halftime when the basketball game guy, the coach is like, you guys are tearing it up, man. You're scoring 100 points. I'm all, we're good. Problem is the other team's got 101. You look at, we got to be playing defense here. You have to. God's telling you, say, you know what? There are a lot of things you can do, but I'm telling you right now what not to do. How many times we talk and we pray with people like, Lord, open and close doors. We need to be directed by God, by the Holy Spirit. I need this. Every single one of us should be reaching out to the Lord and say, Father, I need your help. I need your help and I need your protection. And guess what? Churches, they go down. Leaders, go down. Pastors, go down. You know what they're doing? Adultery. Yeah, they can't figure it out. Like, well, you know, I was just counseling this woman or women on my own, in my own office, so I don't know where it came from. Well, what do you expect? First of all, where are the leaders in the church to hold this dude accountable? All right? Don't wait for that stuff. Us here, lift each other up. Be in accountability. It's always good to have that one or two guys. You can have a bunch of friends. I have a bunch of friends, but I have some really, really close brothers where if I have some problems or whatever they do with me, we can talk. Okay? I remember years ago, one of my favorite pastors, and this will not shock you, was Bob Coy from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Okay? In fact, he even came here. He was awesome. Awesome. Great teacher. I mean, just the whole approach, his whole delivery, everything was just awesome. Lost his church. Multiple affairs he had. He was into porn. He was into all this stuff. Women everywhere, you know what I mean? And then everything fell apart. That's not being a good point man. See? These guys like Johnny and Adam and Robert, you know, our pastors and more in there, they need your prayers. We should continually be praying for our point men. We should be praying for each other as point men in our families. Like I said, Satan, he just wants to burn the joint down. That's all. He don't care. He does not care. And remember, Jesus told the disciples, you know what? I watched Satan fall from heaven. He's God. Society, they're going to throw a kind of crazy twist on this. But if you find yourself in a crazy situation, you need to stop and think about the consequences on what will happen. All right? And I pray and I hope that it falls on very fertile hearts and ears tonight. Because we as men, and we live in a culture of internet, and everything is secretive. Everything. You can do whatever you want. You can erase whatever you want. You can delete things and all that. But God's watching every stroke. Okay? And you will be accountable for what you know, for the counsel that you give. Okay? Like, I'm going to go back to the pastors. These guys, they got a tough job. There's that accountability. And there's that's what the Holy Spirit does. It holds, you know, it convicts. I mean, when we do something crazy, court's in session. Boom. Evidence comes up, you know, it goes up to heaven. Jesus is there. Jesus is our attorney, you know what I mean? And then you got the judge is the Lord, you know. So we're fortunate that we have that on our side. But the point is just like Jesus told the woman, you know, that woman in sin, you know, what they threw her down. And, you know, of course, the dudes, they're all like, this is crazy, you know. And he told her, said, go and sin no more. God gives us freedom, but we need to go back to Him and ask Him for guidance in our lives. And it's just like with the, getting back to the point, man, and being a leader in our home, you can't do any of this when you got this sideshow going on, this secret sideshow. And it goes really ugly. When it goes south, it goes bad. And that's why I brought up David. He was very ineffective after that. And that's all Satan wants. He just wants you and I to be ineffective for the Lord, of no use. And it's sad to watch because I've seen things happen. I literally, years ago, we had one of the guys that was a prayer counselor, and I was in the prayer room, and I asked him, I said, I see, and this is on Facebook. Our system gets so desensitized to these things, it's like it's no big deal. I said, I'm kind of confused here. You got a wife and you got a girlfriend, you know? And that's when we started doing like this, paired up the deacons and the elders, like, you know what, we need to be doing this in the twos, because this way one guy can be praying for the other one while you're dealing with these situations. You know what his response was? Like, well, you know, hey, we're going to get divorced, you know, me and her. And I'm like, you know, that don't work. You know, living your own lifestyle. So that ended fast, real fast. Things will end fast when you go down certain roads. God is looking for true leaders. He's not looking for perfection. None of us. We're all far from that. We have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need and what we don't need. And, you know, things might seem a little exciting, a little fun. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Simple math, because we never know what's coming around the corner. And God gives us wisdom. Like, what did you expect from this? I want to say to you guys, I wasn't trying to point a finger, you know, I'm just throwing God's word out, because that's what God's word is. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's going to cut the bone, the marrow, the soul, the spirit. This is where you need to be in the Lord's word right here, okay? And if you're not, then ask God. Say, Lord, I want to get hungry for you. You know what I mean? I want to have that hunger and thirst for the righteousness of you. This is what it takes. And we all have our own language with the Lord. It's simple. It really is. And it can be fun. So if you're a little stagnant maybe, or, you know, life becomes a little drudgery, or the marriage is like, same old stuff, talk to your wife. Talk to the Lord. So you know what? Love never fails, says in the Bible. Honey, I love you. Write her a card. Leave it for her, you know what I mean? I'm big on that. I like to do that, you know. I like to get these kind of dumb-looking cards, you know, over at Walgreens where there's nothing in it, you know, and I just kind of fill it in and everything. Look, you just stay the course. Stay the course. Don't put your sail down. Keep it up. And let the Spirit blow you where God wants to take you. All right? He'll take you in an area, like, He'll keep you away from certain things, and He'll take you into spots many times, like, wow, I never thought I'd be doing this. And that's ministry. So be waiting on Him. All right? Be dressed, ready to serve, and guys, keep that light shining, okay? You know, because, you know, like Jesus even said in the Beatitudes, you know, who's going to take a lamp, put it out there, and put a bushel on top of it? It's useless. You let that baby shine. You just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And then you don't have to worry about getting in these crazy situations and wonder, how did I get here? All right? So, Lord, I thank you for these men and for what you're doing here in this ministry. Father, it's powerful. It's powerful. All you want is our hearts. You're not worried about money. You're not worried about all the fancy stuff. Lord, you just want our hearts, Father. And I thank you. I pray for the leadership here at the church. Keep these men strong, our pastors. Keep them strong in your word. Keep them following you and help them along. Sometimes we need our wounds licked a little bit here, Lord, and that's where you come in, Father. But I thank you that guide us here all by the Holy Spirit. And Father, that we can always be waiting on you and ready to roll. We say this in the name of Jesus. Amen.